Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. What are you thankful for? This is Christ the King Sunday, and it is a season that's being crowded out, this celebration Sunday with Thanksgiving in just a few days and then the season of Advent coming up. Christ the King Sunday is the last Sunday of the Christian year. And notice we end it celebrating Christ as King. But next week is the first Sunday of the Christian year, the first Sunday of Advent. And how do we begin? We begin by anticipating the birth of Jesus the Christ in that nativity long ago, calling on God that Christ would be born anew in our hearts. So our year is bookended by Jesus. That's a pretty important thing to keep in mind. As you plan on doing Thanksgiving perhaps very differently this year, be thinking and counting your blessings, what you are thankful for. And this morning I'd like to share with you a story, a Thanksgiving story that I wrote that is about what a lot of families do on Thanksgiving Day. They set up for Christmas. They set up the nativity. They begin to ready their hearts for the birth of Jesus. So welcome to Christ the King Sunday this morning, and listen to this Psalm of Thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. The admiral asked everyone to be seated, and Charles Wesley Bartlett and 11 other members of the family sat down at the dining room table. Charles's grandfather remained standing and intoned a prayer in a deeper than usual voice, as if to say, "Listen up, God, this is the admiral speaking." Charles's grandmother was strapped in her special padded chair next to her husband of nearly 60 years. They had retired to Austin from Norfolk. She no longer appeared to recognize her hands as belonging to her. Charles was expected to hug and kiss his grandmother during these annual visits, but had avoided this duty once he became a teenager. His parents pretended not to notice. Grandmother no longer made sense on the rare occasions when she'd speak, but she had an uncanny way of reciting things she had heard from all her faithful years of church attendance. Even now, long after she had forgotten who everyone was, she could say the Lord's Prayer, parts of the Apostles' Creed, and the whole King James Version of the 23rd Psalm. She had become like a ghost. She was there, and she wasn't there. Thanksgiving had always been grandmother's big meal, and today there was enough food to feed the whole Atlantic fleet. There were homemade rolls and Sally Lunn bread, watermelon rind pickles, okra gumbo, oyster stuffing, gravy, Virginia ham biscuits. The southerly wall of the dining room in which they sat was lined with floor-to-ceiling windows. When there was a lull in the eating, everyone gazed out onto the miles of vast hill country, cedar, buffalo grass, Texas sky. It was so warm they had opened the double-wide glass doors that led onto the back porch. Sparrows flitted onto the bird feeder that sat on a pole sunk in the ground just outside the windows. "Looky here," the admiral said in an almost childlike way. A family of five deer had emerged from the tree line. The buck with an 8-point rack approached the dining room tentatively. "They do this all the time," the admiral said. "They're hardly afraid of a thing." Charles's grandmother perked up, leaned slightly forward, cleared her throat, and said, "Let us now receive our tithes and our offerings." She lifted her hand in a sweeping motion when she spoke. "From those to whom much is given," she said, "much is required." She scanned the room and looked as astonished as everyone else, then dropped her hand and gently resumed her rocking. Charles's mom fought back tears and excused herself to the bathroom. By now, the buck had walked to the bird feeder, not 10 feet from the windows. "I tell you," the admiral said quietly, "these things are practically tame. Nothing fazes them." "I'll pull the truck around to the porch," Alan said, "so we can get the tree." Alan got the keys from the nail by the refrigerator and whistled through the garage to the driveway. The protocol, and the admiral always had a protocol, was the same every year. When dinner was over, some would climb into the flatbed of his neglected red Dodge pickup that he hardly used anymore and drive out to the back meadow to cut down a Christmas tree. Others would stay behind and clean the table. When lunch was out of the way and the tree was gotten, the admiral put on the Navy band's Christmas CD and everyone would decorate the tree. Charles heard Alan from the driveway around the side of the house trying to crank the reluctant truck engine. "I didn't tell that boy that the clutch has gotten real tricky," said the admiral, "but I guess he's smart enough to figure that out." The moment the admiral stood up, the truck roared to life. The deer stood stock still in their circle around the bird feeder and cocked their heads. The engine sputtered, backfired, then revved up again as Alan pounded the gas. Tires screeched, and they could hear Alan screaming out, "Whoa, Nellie!" in the split second before a blur of red shot into the back meadow from the driveway. Alan gripped the wheel with both hands and was bouncing along in a supersonic arc toward the porch. The deer scattered, except for the stag who had stalled too long. There was nowhere for him to run except onto the porch. Alan was howling. The truck zeroed in on the house like a torpedo, plowing ahead over rough ground and snapping the bird feeder in two. Seed stung the windows. The stag was doing a jittery tap dance on the wooden porch. He was frantically looking for a way to escape. Alan jerked the wheel and slammed on the brakes, grinding to a stop at the bottom of the porch stairs. Sand and dust rose up in a plume. There was a nanosecond of silence. Charles thought he could hear Alan sigh. The engine rattled back to life and gasped, then violently backfired twice. Pop, pop, before wheezing out. The stag couldn't stand it. He twisted in a frenzied tight circle, looked left and right and left again, and then, to everyone's complete surprise, he ran into the dining room through the open porch doors. The deer slipped on the hardwood floor. As he got his feet, his legs were churning cartoonishly. When he finally lurched forward, he shattered a lamp and careened off the piano. The admiral stood between his wife and the deer, jabbing the air with his dinner fork. Charles's two grown sisters bolted out of their chairs and knocked over gravy and a full pitcher of unsweet iced tea. Corn pudding became airborne. They were screaming madly, like the end of the world was close enough to reach out and touch. The deer bounded toward the back of the house, towards the bedrooms, about the time Charles's mother emerged from the bathroom. Her eyes went wide one second, and then the next narrowed to slits, and she did something Charles couldn't fathom. She roared. The buck slid onto the floor and slammed into a wall of bookshelves. The house shuddered. Charles's mom took another deep breath and she roared again. Books rained down like hams. In that moment, Charles could tell that his mild-mannered mother was, after all, an admiral's daughter. The deer staggered up, shot back into the great room, jumped over the couch, knocked over the Norfolk pine, flew out the doors onto the porch, over the rail, and into the meadow. On solid ground, he regained his grace and strength and disappeared into the cedars. Uncle Alan trudged up the steps of the porch. He warily leaned into the doorway and looked around at the wreckage. "While y'all clean up," Uncle Alan said slowly, "I'll be glad to go get the Christmas tree." He had a wry smile on his face. "Would anyone like to come with me?" Charles immediately stood up and thanked the admiral for a nice dinner, stepped over a broken chair into the warm afternoon, got into the cab of the truck, and counted the seconds for Alan to drive him away. The cedar was trimmed to stand exactly 9 feet tall. A live tree in the great room fit decidedly better than a crazed deer. Charles's dad had helped the admiral in from the garage with a footlocker that held the ornaments. Charles's grown sisters and their husbands had begun putting them on. 12 gold balls, 12 green, 12 silver, 12 red. Charles saw that his grandmother had awakened from a nap and was watching the activity. Lights from the tree shone in her eyes, and it almost looked like she wore a knowing smile. Charles's mom gently set the cardboard box containing the creche on her mother's lap. It was her way of trying to include her. Grandmother looked at her own helpless hands and then into her daughter's unfamiliar face. After a moment, she locked a blank gaze back on the tree. Carol Bartlett took out the manger scene figures one by one and set them on the upright piano. Baby Jesus lay rigidly in the ceramic hay. Charles stood on the other side of the Christmas tree, watching his mother trying to engage her mother. If love were a picture, this would be it. He absently hung the chrismons on the tree. He carefully hung the manger, a shepherd's crook, a scallop shell, an angel. Mainly, he watched his grandmother through the branches of pungent cedar, and he wished he could do what his mother was doing. His grandmother had always frightened him. He knew he should feel differently, and he wanted to, but he didn't. Charles never met the intelligent, vital woman everyone said she once was. His grown sisters had fond memories of their grandmother. He had none. She had never baked cookies for him or read him a story or tucked him into bed. As far as he knew, she had never called him by his name. About the time he started remembering things, she began forgetting. And for reasons he did not understand, he always tried to keep his distance from her, to keep somebody or something, like a cedar tree, between him and her. "The creche is missing a sheep," the admiral said to Charles's mom. He stood at the piano looking at the manger scene. That was the kind of detail the admiral would never miss. 4 sheep, 1 cow, 1 manger, 1 Jesus, 3 kings, 5 shepherds, an angel, a star, Mary and Joseph, everyone present and accounted for, sir. A single sheep, however, had gone AWOL. Carol Bartlett unfolded and refolded tissue from the open box that sat on grandmother's lap. No sign of the lost sheep. She took the box under her arm and said to her mother, "The manger is out, Mama. The tree is up, and your good Thanksgiving meal is over." She kissed her mom on the cheek. "Now, Mama, we're ready for Christmas." Grandmother didn't notice her daughter. A Texas sunset had set the sky on fire, and early stars shone like cat eyes. One sister and her husband opted for an evening movie at Round Rock and were giggling in the bedroom, supposedly getting their coats. It was only 78 degrees outside. The other sister, the older one, retired to the guest room with her husband and their new baby. Uncle Alan was sitting cross-legged on the porch now with his guitar. The Admiral and Charles's parents, in the study looking over some papers, would take Grandmother back to the nursing home soon. The great room was empty, except for Charles and his grandmother. Alan's easy voice floated in from the porch, mingling with the smell of cedar and the still warm evening air. The last colors of sunset were melting into a clear, starry night. Charles decided he would go to the movie with his sister and brother-in-law, but he decided he'd go to his grandmother first and give her a hug, or pat her on the head, or touch her somehow, and tell her good night. How difficult could that be? What harm could that do to him or to her? He knelt down beside her, like one of the magi in the manger scene. She smelled of her favorite Noxzema face cream. Hugging her was difficult, but he tried. He didn't have a clue what to say. There was so much he wanted to say, to tell her, the her she once was, the her he never knew. He thought about saying what they said at the church a lot, "The peace of Christ be with you." It was a little formal, perhaps, and it didn't convey anything of what he thought he felt, anything of what he wanted to say, but she wouldn't be able to tell the difference. He said the words enough in church to know that he could actually get them out. If he tried to say something else, he was afraid he wouldn't be able to finish. So he did. He said, "The peace of Christ be with you, Grandmother." When he said it, she lifted her head. A flash of warmth crossed her face, and in the instant before it was gone, she spoke, "And also with you," she said, "and also with you." These were among her deeply remembered words, emerging from beyond the place of mere language, floating along the pathways of things last forgotten. She drew her chin into her chest and gazed in the direction of her knotted hands. Charles awkwardly, carefully took her brittle hands in his and massaged them lightly. She opened her fist, and in her right palm sat the missing ceramic sheep. It had a chip off one of its black ears. Its white body had yellowed slightly over the many years. A single lamb. Jesus was the great shepherd of the flock, the keeper of many, but Grandmother Simons was the shepherd of one. She clung to it. He, Charles, held his grandmother's hands for a long, fragile moment. He gave them a soft squeeze before returning them gently to the folds of her lap. Charles skipped the movie. He strolled around the back meadow instead. From outside, the house shone like a gold star, lightly kissing the earth. Uncle Alan was still playing snippets of songs on his sixth string. They had come from fields and faraway places to gather at the manger, and they were a hodgepodge group: royalty, shepherds, an unwed mother, 4 sheep, 1 cow, 1 manger. God met them there. Charles looked back at the house, into the wall of windows. The Admiral in the kitchen washed a serving platter in the sink. David Bartlett read the newspaper on the couch. Carol Bartlett was brushing her mother's hair. His family was a hodgepodge too, and they had come from such distances to gather for Thanksgiving, from north and south and east and west, 16 hours from Atlanta, 15 from Champaign. God's love had also come a long way, from heaven's high to earth's low, a great chasm spanned. You never know what you'll find in the stable, the smell of Noxzema face cream and the frail grip of an old woman's hand, that flicker of warmth that flashes in somebody's face that lasts only a second. Sometimes, though, 1 second is enough, and in that second, the heavens open and the angels sing. And love, which for so long had seemed so far away, has come near. We need not be so sorry and so afraid after all. The peace of Christ be with you, Charles said to the Stoic cedars. And also with you, he said, looking up and up into the stars. Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.